Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 16. As is our custom, we're going to stand to read in just a moment our text. But before we do, several people came up to me after the early service and said that they were driven crazy by the reading of the text this morning. We're going to read two verses of Scripture, the last portion of Romans 16 and verse 20, and Romans 16, verse 24. These two verses say the exact same thing. But if you're reading from the New International Version, the NIV has totally left out verse 24 of Romans 16. In fact, you jump from verse 23 to verse 25. That is very unfortunate. It's one of the reasons why I don't personally use the NIV. What the translators of the New International Version have said is this. They believe a copyist made an error and repeated himself. I don't think that's the case at all. God intentionally said twice through the Apostle Paul what we're about to read, because any time in the Bible something is repeated, it highlights the importance of that which is said. For instance, when Jesus taught, he would often say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," or as it is translated, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," and then he would speak. Now, why did Jesus use the word "truly" twice? He was saying, "Wake up, pay attention, listen to what I'm about to say. It's very important." In the Bible, there are no italics, there are no exclamation points, there are no apostrophes, and so on. You emphasized that something was important through repetition. This is why when the angels around the throne of God shouted, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," they did so three times to emphasize the importance of the holiness and majesty of God. In our text, twice, we find the words that we're about to read. These are very important words. Let's stand together as we begin Romans 16, verse 20. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Then verse 24. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, this morning, help us see the importance of being favored by your Son, Jesus Christ. Cause us to rest in His grace and in His kindness. And if there is a person who has never tasted of the grace of Jesus Christ, may this morning be the moment that the grace of our Lord Jesus falls upon the person who needs His favor. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're seated, I want to point out three very simple things from this text in the form of questions. The first is this: what is the grace of Jesus Christ? The prayer Paul prayed is, "May the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all." What is the grace of Christ? The word grace is used over 300 times in your Bible. Holman's Bible Dictionary defines grace as this: the undeserved favor from a superior to an inferior. It is a wonderful world when it is a world filled with grace, favor, kindness of people in authority to those who are not. It reminds me of the story of the teacher who had a little boy in her class by the name of Johnny. And one day, Johnny was attempting to put on his boots, and he was struggling. He couldn't get them on. And the teacher came over and said, "Johnny, can I help you?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." And so the teacher bit down and she struggled hard. She pushed and then she pulled and she twisted and she finally got one boot on. Then she did the same on the other foot and she finally got the other boot on. But by the time she was done, I mean, she had broken out into a sweat. Well, Johnny looks down at his feet and he said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." And so she bends down and with grace and kindness and favor toward little Johnny, she pulls those boots off and sure enough, they were on the wrong feet and she puts them on the right feet and it takes her a while. She has to push and pull and twist and she works really hard and she gets them on. And then little Johnny stands up and looks at his teacher and he says, "Teacher, these are not my boots." Oh, rather than saying what she felt, "Why didn't you tell me?" With kindness and grace and favor, she bent back down and she pulled those boots off again. And when she got them off, little Johnny said, "These are my brother's boots. My mommy makes me wear them." Well, she didn't know whether or not to laugh or cry. And so she said, "Well, that's all right, Johnny." So again, for the third time, she puts those boots on and she pushes and she pulls and she twists, all in kindness and favor to little Johnny. She finally gets them on and he stands up and the teacher says, "Now, Johnny, where are your mittens? I'll help you put them on." Little Johnny said, "I've stuffed them in the toes of my boots." I feel a little bit like Johnny sometimes. I make a mess of my life. I do things that aren't right. I get confused. I put things where they ought not be. Oh, but how good of a world it is when there are people in authority who are gracious and kind and merciful. Think about it. May the favor of Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm not sure that we fully comprehend this word grace or the depths of it for this reason. So many people confuse mercy with grace. A.W. Pink is a friend or was a friend of my grandfather's. Both have died. I have several of his letters in my office. A.W. Pink was better known after his death than when he was alive. He's written many books. In fact, his book on the sovereignty of God is the singular book that has changed the minds of more people regarding God's sovereignty than any other book in Christendom. One time, A.W. Pink was writing a book on the grace of God, and he defined grace like Holman's dictionary. It is the undeserved favor of a superior to an inferior. His editor wrote him back and said, "That's not grace, that's mercy." A.W. Pink said, "What do you mean?" And then his editor said this, "Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? On the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, there was a man who was going through the valley and was robbed. A Levite came by, a priest came by, they ignored the man who was robbed. But then a Samaritan, a half-breed, a half-Jew, walks by and he sees the beaten-up man and he has mercy," the Bible uses the word, "compassion in his heart and he cares for the needs of that man." The editor said to A.W. Pink, "That's mercy, showing undeserved favor to a person who is in need." God is merciful, but he is also gracious. The editor went on and said, "A.W. Pink, grace is when the man who was robbed is healed and he's walking down the same road and he sees those who have robbed him in need and he favors them. That's grace." You see, the depths of grace, particularly the depths of the grace of Christ to us, is not fully comprehended because we must realize that God favors those who are antagonistic toward Him. Do you see that? Throughout your life, there have been moments when you have been at odds with God. Maybe you've cursed Him. Maybe you have done things against Him. You violated His law. You've been His enemy. Grace is the favor of Christ toward those who are antagonistic toward Him. Oh, the depths of the riches of the grace of Jesus Christ. Now listen again to this prayer. May the grace of Christ be with you. Amen. You see, I may be speaking to some who have done some things in their lives that they are ashamed of, me included. This prayer encompasses us. The grace of God is not for those who are perfect or who have done well. The grace of God is for those who have failed. May the grace of Christ be with you all. This little phrase, grace of Christ, is used by Paul 25 times in the New Testament. It is interchangeable with the phrase, the grace of God. It's another internal evidence of the divinity of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you speak of Christ, you speak of God. May God's favor be upon you. Now let me get very practical with you. And let me talk about the three types of favor you and I need from Christ. Why do you and I need the grace of Christ? What's the purpose of it? Why do we need His favor? Let me describe for you three kinds of grace we receive from Him and why we need it. First, the Bible speaks of future grace, also known as saving grace. For instance, this is the grace that is referred to in Ephesians 2, verse 8, where the Bible says, "We are saved by the grace of God, for by grace are you saved, for by Christ's favor are you saved through faith." R.C. Sproul, I've told you this before, was walking the streets of Philadelphia when the young man who was out witnessing for Christ tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Sir, let me ask you a question. Are you saved?" Dr. Sproul, the great theologian, turned around and said, "Young man, saved from what?" Well, that startled the young man. He didn't know what it was that the people he was witnessing to were to be saved from. And Dr. Sproul took the opportunity to explain to the young man what it is that sinners need to be saved from. Isn't it strange how Christians often will use Christian lingo and not even know what it is they're saying? The Bible says we are saved by the favor of God. Now, what is it that we are saved from? Well, in the Scripture, the Bible very clearly tells us there's a coming a day of judgment when everyone will stand before God and give an account for their lives. And everything that they have done in violation to the law of God will be brought up before the heavenly tribunal. And the Scripture says on that day, called the day of wrath, the anger and righteous indignation of a holy God will be poured out upon those who have violated His law. But there are people who escape that wrath. There are people who will not bear that anger. They are saved from it. They are delivered from the day of wrath to come. Who are these people? They are those upon whom the favor of Christ falls. For instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, the disciples are out sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're talking about Christ and what it means to trust Him. And some of the Jews were upset because they didn't hear the disciples saying, "Obey the law, be circumcised, do what Moses says." And they came to the disciples and said, "You are not teaching people to live according to the law. Answer for yourselves." So the disciples come to Jerusalem and stand before the elders of the church. And they explain to the elders, "Listen, we are out teaching people about Christ and how it is that we are saved from the wrath to come." Listen, in fact, to what is said to the church elders, and I quote from the Scripture. "We are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His grace, through His favor, we shall be saved." Oh, how contrary this is to what I've seen these last 10 days. You've got Muslims who five times a day hear the wailing call to prayer and bow their knees toward Mecca and seek to appease God through their prayers and their actions. You've got the Orthodox Jews who are seeking to rebuild the temple and reinstitute the sacrifices in order to do things to appease their God. You've got our Roman Catholic friends who build their churches in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem, the Church of the Nativity and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and they kiss the stones there, and they light the candles, and they cross themselves, and they do all of the rituals in their minds that appease their God. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ is this: when you through faith trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and invite Him into your life to be the Lord and Master of your life, you will find that you escape the day of wrath to come because He favors you with future grace, with saving grace, and you will be totally excluded from giving an account of your life to God, because Jesus Christ, your advocate, places His arm around you and says, "Father, I have given my life in kindness and favor and grace toward this believer." The devil will stand on the prosecution stand and he will say, "But this person has violated your law. This person has done wrong. This person is as sinful as anyone else." But Jesus Christ will say, "Yes, but my favor is given to those who even have been antagonistic toward me. I am gracious to those who trust me." This is future grace. It's saving grace, and it'll set you free. Folks, to whatever extent you are seeking to try to appease God's wrath, to whatever extent you are doing things to try to get Him to stop being angry with you, you have lost sight of the grace of Jesus Christ. The wrath of God, the condemnation of God, is finished at Calvary for those who trust Jesus. And when Paul prays and says, "May the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all," the first kind of grace he's referring to is future grace, saving grace. Do you have it this morning? Second, there is daily grace, also known as sufficient grace or favor from Christ. Now, what kind of grace is this? Well, it's the kind mentioned in the letter to the Corinthian Christians, where Jesus Christ Himself said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, listen to this. "For my power is made perfect in weakness." Are you here this morning and your marriage is on the rocks? Are you finding that there are some things, some relationships that are very weak right now? Are you in some circumstances where you really don't think you're cut out to get things done? Are you really scared right now that you're not strong enough to endure, to make it? Oh, listen to this. Jesus Himself said, "My favor is such that when my people are weak, my power is seen." You see, the world views it just the opposite. The world says, you got to be strong, you got to buck up, you got to show people what you've got. You can't ever let weakness be exposed. They tell men never to shed a tear. They tell men to be strong, to tell people what they've done, what they've accomplished, and to tell people how they ought to get in shape. That's what a leader is. Jesus Christ says, That person who receives my daily grace is that one who knows he is weak, but my power will be displayed through him. Do you realize that the first Protestant seminary in the world was founded in Zurich, Switzerland in the year 1520. The man who founded the seminary, a brilliant man, had all of the students who were learning to become pastors go through his 3-year degree program. And when these first students were ready to graduate, do you know what the founder of the first Protestant seminary did? He refused to grant diplomas or degrees. He said, when men think that they are smart because they've got a degree or letters behind their name, they go out in ministry in their own power and without the power of Jesus Christ. So the first reformers, the first pastors of the 16th century who went out to tell people that you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ didn't even have degrees, because they went out in the power of Christ. Folks, this is good news for those of you who feel really weak right now. When you have the favor of Christ, He is made strong in your weakness. Oh, but there's a third type of grace. Not only is there future grace called saving grace, not only is there daily grace called sustaining grace, but there's a third type of grace, hidden grace, which is called sovereign grace. What I mean by this is there are times every day of your life when God does things that you don't see, when He orchestrates events and you have no awareness of them, but He does things for you in order to perfect you, in order to mature you. In fact, this is the kind of grace mentioned in the text that we're about to read. Listen to it. It's a beautiful passage. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." 1 Peter 5:10. Are there some things going on in your life and you think, "Ow, this hurts. Wow, this isn't pleasant. This is tough." Listen, if you have the favor of Jesus Christ, you will find that you will go through that suffering for just a little while. But the God of all grace will end it when you are perfected through the trial you're going through. That is not a promise to anyone but those who trust Christ. My dad, when I was little, used to tell me that when people get older, they either get bitter or they get better. Those who have tasted of the grace of Christ get better, even when the spouse dies, even when the children go into rebellion, even when things happen, hurtful things. Oh, the grace of God is present. It's hidden grace. You don't see it, but it's sovereign grace. And He orchestrates every event of your life in such a way that the favor of God is upon you. Now, this leads me to a final question. Oh, how I want that. Oh, it's one thing for you to be kind to me. It's one thing for you to be gracious and favorable to me. Oh, but the God of this universe, Jesus Christ Himself, for Him to be kind, for Him to show me favor, for Him to give me His grace. Oh, I can't fathom that. How I want His favor. And the idea of this prayer is that those who receive the grace of God receive it and receive it and receive it again. The grace of God comes today and tomorrow and the next day. May the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Oh, how I want that grace. I want that grace so that when things are in turmoil around me, I know that His favor is upon me. Even when people die that I love, His favor rests upon my soul. Oh, how I want His grace. Oh, how I need His favor. So that when I fail, I know that that failure will never be brought up, because Jesus Christ has delivered me from the wrath to come. Oh, how I need His favor.
when I am weak and I cannot do what I know needs to be done, He and His power lives through me. Oh, how do I get this grace? How do you and I get the grace of Jesus Christ? Listen to this verse. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So when Paul prays, may the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all, it's a very important prayer, repeated twice. May His saving grace be upon you. May His daily grace sustain you. May His hidden sovereign grace perfect you. Oh, that's my prayer for you. For that to happen, you have to be broken and cry out to Him and say, Lord, I need Your favor. And I'm here to tell you, if you ever cry out to Him like that, He never turns a deaf ear. He is favorable to even those who once antagonized Him. He is favorable to every person who calls out to Him in faith. May the grace and favor and kindness of Jesus Christ be with you all.